Hello, and welcome to Saving People Queering Things, the Supernatural podcast where he wasn't going to mention it. Today, we're pulling up to Season 6, Episode 3, The Third Man. I am your host, Elena. My pronouns are she, they. And today, I am joined by returning guest hosts and dear friends of the pod squad, Beth and Hannah. Would y'all like to properly introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Beth. My pronouns are she, her. We're from Raising Perdition. I watched Supernatural in 3.5 weeks. That's my only claim to fame.
That's magnificent. And how many, were all of the seasons out when you did that?
Yeah, it was in 2021.
Good Lord. I forgot that you did all 15 in 3 weeks. That is a feat, my friend.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it's probably not the healthiest way for a person to watch a TV show. Not such a long TV show. No. So I'm Hannah, and my pronouns are also she, her. Of course, on Raising Perdition with Beth. And I watch Supernatural because Beth told me to. So that's where that's where we're at.
Yeah. Not only did I get brain rot.
Not in 3.5 weeks.
No. I got brain rot, and then I said, I'm going to infect anyone who will listen.
Yeah, that's basically what happens. It's like once you get
and it, I made a mistake.
You make it everyone else's problem.
Hannah wishes she could go
I made
back,
the mistake of listening.
Yeah,
people, but here we are.
People in your life either become fans or they learn everything about the show against their will, and those are the only two options they get.
Yeah.
But my question for the day for y'all is, what biblical object are you stealing to use against your enemies? Because that was a really fun little element of this episode, and I'm curious.
I have to admit, I don't know many biblical objects.
That's totally fair. Yeah. I realized as soon as I typed it that I didn't either, and was like, oh no. All of the ones I can think of are from pop culture. Well, here, let's broaden it. Let's say, like, mythological object. So it doesn't necessarily need to be biblical, like, from other mythologies.
Well, I was going to say, I did have one for the Bible. I was going to say the cross. And just crucify your enemies.
That's totally valid.
It worked once. And more times after that. So, I mean,
I don't have really anything. So I'm going to say, instead of using it against my enemies, I would rather just ignore them and, you know, not be near them. So I'm going to use the baseball cap that Annabeth has in the Percy Jackson.
Oh my God. Yes. Accept that as a valid answer, 9,000%.
We're going with other mythologies.
Yeah, because my brain has been like deep into the Greek myth brain rot because of Percy Jackson lately. So I'm on board with that. I don't know why, but it's just where my brain keeps going. I want Excalibur. Like, that just feels like it would be a dope piece of mythology to just like whip out at parties and be like, hey, gonna go slay my enemies now with this ancient epic sword that this really cool lady from the pond gave me. So now that we have met our host for today, it is time to catch you up. If you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here's what you missed on the road so far. First, our darling Beth is going to recap the show up to this point, which you have 5 whole seasons plus 2. So this is going to be a good time. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
We've got Sam and Dean. Their mom's dead. Their dad's gone, but they found him, but now he's dead. Sam dies in the Demon Blood Hugger Games. Dean sells his soul for Sam to come back. They try to stop the deal. They can't. Castiel, Angel of the Lord, raises Dean from hell. Ruby leads Sam to raise Lucifer from hell. Angels and demons both want the apocalypse. The boys stop it by Sam yeeting himself and 3 other guys into the cage. Dean goes to Lisa. Castiel goes back to heaven. But surprise, Sam has actually been back for a year, and their grandfather is also there?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Nice.
I love that, really good. That most of all. Your grandfather also question. That is such a good place to leave off for Hannah to recap us into this week's episode, The Third Man. Are you ready, Hannah?
Yeah.
As you'll ever be.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Count you in. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, their grandfather is not specifically there, today, but Sam and Dean go to check out a case that is very Egyptian plague-like. They call Cass, find out a piece of Moses' staff is stolen by an angel and is being used by a kid. They torture the kid, basically, to find the angel, Balthazar, who traded the kid for his soul. During the torturing, Dean is worried about Sam. Cass wants the things Balthazar stole back so he can fight Raphael, but Balthazar says no, and in the end, he destroys Raphael's vessel and releases his mark on the kid's soul, and that's basically it.
Fantastic.
Whew, I had to get good job. I had to fit it in there.
I can tell.
I was looking at the timer.
It's so clear now that y'all have done this a few times because you're both pros. Like I have no notes that I can offer about those fantastic recaps. So now it is time for us to pick some music that is gonna accompany us on this wild, wild journey. So here's what we have for the mixtape this week. Hannah, have you got a pick for us?
I think so. It was really hard to choose for the overall episode for me, but I did pick a song for the way Dean's kind of feeling about Sam right now specifically. I chose Heartless by Kanye West.
Oh, fantastic.
I love that.
He's just kind of like, what? You're being so true, weird. Though. So
I love that.
That is so left, like, oh my gosh. I hope Beth has something that's also as equally as unrelated to the song I have so that we can just cover Beth's the whole is,
yeah.
breadth of musical experiences.
Yeah, so I guess with mine, I just really latched on to the police in this episode and how awful the system is.
Oh, okay.
And so I have Fuck the Police by NWA. So yeah, so
true. Broken Elena, everyone.
So true, Beth.
So for my pick, I decided to go more abstract, related to the plague-like elements that are going on with the episode, and also the dynamic that's going on with these brothers who are like at odds with each other as they're trying to figure things out. So my suggestion is The Plagues from The Prince of Egypt.
Oh, excellent choice. I love The Prince of Egypt so much. That's such a good choice.
Yeah, it was like the very first thing that popped into my head, and I was like, wait, it's about two feuding brothers and how he wished that God had chosen someone else. And also there's lots of like biblical plagues occurring, and Moses is there, and
it is Moses and Aaron there
as a suspect.
Oh, excellent choice.
I love the diversity of this little playlist.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it's a really interesting three songs.
Well, speaking of there being three things and there being three of us, now that we've got that mixtape playing, it is time for this week's hunt. And today we are pulling up to season 6, episode 3, The Third Man, through the theme of instinct. Where do we even start with this one? I love like the montage that we get at the very beginning of like Dean just kind of being like, eh, I'm gonna kind of twist around. And Sam is like, I am an absolute Terminator. This is fine.
That whole interaction for Sam with the woman is so weird.
I hate it. I had forgotten
how
terrible it was.
I think as the like season progresses, you understand why it's there, but I still don't like it.
Yeah.
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 Like it's one of those things where like, I get why they put it there, but also did you have to? There are other ways to convey what you needed to say, guys.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they just made it a little weird. Like weirder than it needed to be.
So it just feels out of character. Just it was yucky. Could have been different.
The fact that he paid is like a really big red flag that I think leads to like what's going on. Because in specifically I think it's like Lazarus Rising, mm-hmm. when Dean's like, what did it cost? Because he's asking like, what did it cost to bring me back from hell? And Sam's like, you know, I don't pay for the girls.
That's like, what I was gonna say. He specifically says that earlier in the show. Yeah
So we've already established that this is not within character for him, so it's like it's just one of many moments in this episode where we are being put in a place to realize that something is fucking wrong with Sam. Like Sam is not behaving under normal operating procedure right now.
Mm-hmm.
I did forget also how much I hate the body horror in this episode. Like ugh. I had for each of the three deaths in this episode, I did not look at my phone. Like, I was actively looking in a different direction.
I turned my phone like this to where I could like barely see it so that I could figure out what was happening, but like just didn't full on look.
Because I was like, I need to know when to look at it again, but I also do not want to see like locust crawling in a person's brain. No, thank you.
Who does?
Yeah. No, nobody.
I didn't want to see it, but I did watch it. I'm the opposite. Like, it's like, it's gross. It's definitely gross, but I can't not watch it. I have to see what it is.
You're captivated.
Like, how else? I'm like, that's batshit crazy.
I can't with body horror stuff anymore. Yeah. I can't do it. It just, I'm like,
yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Although the worst one, for me personally, the worst is the first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, it depends on how realistic it is. Like, if it's a broken arm or something like that, that's hard to look at, you know, but like something that could actually happen. But like watching a man like peel his face off of his face, like, I'm like, ew, well,
peel his face off.
That's weird, but it doesn't freak me out that bad because, like, is that going to happen? Probably not.
Likely. Not likely that giant bugs will infect my brain and eat my skull.
Right.
So sometimes, like, the chatter that they showed, sometimes it does feel like my brain is doing that. It's just not real.
Sometimes my brain is just a buzzing sound of locusts.
Right.
That's relatable. Just not the actual bugs. And I also, like, have to shout out, like, I love the way that Dean fucking says things like a not normal human being ever, like, just the way he words stuff sometimes, I'm like, Dean, what, why? And when he, what was the line specifically when he was like, oh, listening to the guy with the bug in his custard, like, what the fuck, who says stuff like that? Like,
this,
I know,
it's a silly guy,
but that's a weird way to describe it.
He can't take it seriously.
No, I think he's just it's just like a part of him to, like, it like protects himself from like the horror of what he just witnessed.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just gonna call it custard because that's gonna make this better somehow.
Yeah, I think that scene, the specifically the locust scene, could have been so much better if like the hat just fell off like organically or something, you know, when he hit his head, instead of, or when his head goes down, instead of them having to be like, do you hear that? Oh
yeah,
that was also that off. It's that locust.
It's like Dora the Explorer.
Like, is it under the hat?
Were they just like being considerate of the fact that they were having a conversation? It was like, guys, they're talking right now. Like, no, locusts are fucking loud.
Yeah. I feel like it would have been like shocking if like the hat just fell off and you were,
and
like,
they're just
crawling out. Locust.
Yeah.
Or they like flew out like a horde of them. Like, that would have been like. But instead, also, it's like they're like dipping their toe into it.
How the guy was forming any kind of complete sentences?
Yeah,
much of it, like, that's not
how that works. He was dead already, right?
Like, no,
your brain is gone. Already. You're dead.
Yeah,
no brain,
or at least comatose.
Yeah, something.
You're not sitting there having a weird conversation and just being a little bit aloof about a bottle.
Just a little sweaty.
Yeah.
Just
a little weird, just a little sweaty.
You're not answering the door for the feds when there's eating your brain. It's just,
no.
But hey, this is the CW Supernatural.
Exactly. Anything can happen.
So we have to talk about what is one of the most iconic Dean and Cass moments, I think. The getting your feathery ass down here. And then the profound bond line.
It is the reason why I picked this episode for us to be on in your season.
I was really, really excited that, like, when we were going through and deciding, like, you know, who's going to be on which episode, I was like, if I'm not on the profound bond episode, then I quit. Like, it just...
I will say, I was watching this episode and I was like, did Beth pick this or did I? Because I can't see why I would have picked this episode.
It was me.
It was Beth.
Yep.
I like that part, but it's like such a small part of the episode for me to have chosen. I would have never.
That so me. I like hone in on like certain specific scenes and I'm like, I don't care what's happening in the rest of the episode. Look at my little guys.
Yeah, that's very much the vibe. Because like I said, I had forgotten that this was the plot of the episode. I had it confused with the plot of another one, but I knew that this was the episode with the prayer and Cass immediately showing up. Like Cass is just like, immediately Dean. And he tries to play it off I didn't come for you. And I'm just like, a likely story.
Yeah, you did.
I did put that in my cap, in my notes, all caps. Please, yes, you did, Cass. Don't lie.
Like,
you liar.
Like, was he motivated? I also just, like, extra to come for the staff? Yes, but, like, it wasn't Sam asking, it was Dean. So, like, of course he's gonna.
Yeah, and the way that Sam reacts is just, you like him better than me or something? And the fact that Cass just is like,
he's just like,
just admits it openly. He's like, well, duh.
I just like, I love how he like looks, he looks at Dean and says like, I wasn't going to mention it. And it's like, they've had this conversation. He's like, I promise I wasn't going to say anything. I swear to God.
Like, I know that we've talked about like how meaningful our hearts are to one another. However, I wasn't going to tell others. Like,
I know you told me it would hurt Sam's feelings and I wasn't going to say anything to him, but he asked what am I supposed to do?
But your brother's being kind of annoying right now. And I'm just telling it like it is.
Getting on my nerves.
And he's like, skills are rusty right now. Yes.
Right.
And he's been gone for a year, quote unquote.
Year is so funny to me. That's like, I know people love to talk about people skills and rusty, but I think year is arguably so much funnier.
It's so much funnier. Because
he's like, I don't know.
Necessary.
Yes. But it's because like, he's been not a person for a whole year. Right. And so he's like, I guess it's been a year. That's what you're telling me it's been. But like, I don't know.
How when Sam says hello and he's like, is that still the term? Like,
he's like, I don't know. Give me a break, buddy.
Time is very different when you're a celestial being.
Right.
Oh my God. And that was like, as I was watching it this time, I was like, new gender just dropped. Multidimensional wavelength of celestial intent. Precisely. This is what I identify as.
I do think it's so funny that Sam is so, like, pissed. Like, he's just, like, pissy about it. Like, jealous. Like,
he is.
Like, he's like, I don't understand. And it's like, Sam, come on, baby. You get it. You understand.
You know why.
You know, Sam.
You're just living in your little bubble of delusion, being like, he's not going to answer you. I already tried.
And just, and also just like Dean's face when he says the profound.
Yeah, I think that that's like, really funny that he like takes a moment to be like, huh? And then he's like, anyway, like, let's not dive deeper into whatever the hell you just said, because I don't want to. If Sam calls, you could come and tell him you don't know. Okay, don't just ignore him.
Yeah, like, just immediately tries to move on from it. Like, let's pretend this didn't happen. Meanwhile, the audience is sitting there like, this is going to rewrite my brain chemistry, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bananas. He calls it, when he's talking about the weapon, he calls it Chuck Heston's disco stick. Like, what a pop culture reference to make.
And he's all over the place in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's reaching like peak levels of Dean in this episode.
Yeah.
I just enjoy that for him.
I feel like I have so many like little things, just like smallest little things that don't. Oh, I just like Dean like parenting Ben, like while he's out and about. I just think that's, it's like so sad, but it's so sweet. And the fact that Ben would like call him and like,
yeah,
be like, Dean, what do? I broke something. Like,
yeah.
I know you're lying, Ben. Because I lie professionally.
Because I know.
And because you're like 10 and it's very easy to spot.
It's so obvious.
In the beginning when Sam's like, I actually need you to come over here. And Dean's like, okay, but why? He's like, because like there's a case. And Dean's like, who died made you boss? Like this like shift in their like dynamic. Like Dean's like, you would never talk to me like that. Like what is, it's just another,
pardon?
Right. It's just another like building block into like Dean being like, something is going on with Sammy.
Yeah. Like Sam would have never spoken to him like that. Like he would have been maybe pushy.
Yeah.
But never demanding.
And like just being like, okay, yeah, call me when you get into town, when you roll into town. Like,
right.
Also, Dean's getting a burger from Burger Heaven in that scene.
I didn't notice that detail.
That where burgers the only thing go when they die.
And burgers That's go fine. When they die.
That's sad.
When he says to Dean, I can't care about that, Dean. I don't have that luxury.
But also, like, if you think about, like, seasons 4 and 5, like, he was just, like, season 4, he was just, like, trying to figure out, like, oh, I'm a part of a system that is not good. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're kind of, they're corrupt. And then in season 5, it's just like, okay, we're in war. And now, like, he's kind of, like, left to his own devices. And he's trying to be in charge. But, like, there's still opposing forces. And so, like, he's still just a little baby when it comes to, like, figuring things out.
Yeah. He's like, he's still like, he may be this, you know, wavelength and celestial being, but he's also just a little guy, and he's just doing his best.
He also looks extremely hot this entire episode.
Yeah, it was a little rude.
Like the whole, like, in the hotel room, like him just like kind of like bickering with the brothers, but like going around and like doing his spell, like that was really like the brow, like he kept like looking at them like, you guys are just like wasting my time. Very, very hot. Fighting the other angel, very hot. Getting bloody,
just like grabbed Dean's hand and was like, hi, I'm gonna slice your hand open now, like,
right, like,
use you.
And Dean's like, use your own. He's like, well, I'm not a human, so it wouldn't work.
Well, I can't. Yeah,
like, geez, Cass, consent matters, okay?
Right.
Ask people before you slice their hands open for a spell.
But that was the whole thing with angels.
Consent. Yeah. Well, I'm curious how y'all felt about, like, if you remember when you were first watching, how you felt about that reveal of, like, there's an angel that's, like, making crossroad deals effectively.
I mean, I watched everything so quickly that it kind of all just ran together. But it was mostly just like, okay, well, that's different. That's weird. Like, they're bringing in this whole like new lore anyways to souls in general, and like how powerful they are, and like as like currency almost, because like they've never really done that before in the past, like crossroads deals. It was like, okay, your soul's going to hell,
like you find it, like the lore gets really, really interesting and deep on souls this season, and this is kind of like where we really first start to kind of get that, the beginnings of that. It's very cool. And we get Balthazar for the first time, I forgot this was his first episode, but I love him.
That V-neck is as deep as it can go.
Yeah.
And then his menage a, what's the word for French word for 12?
What's the word? What's French word for 12?
Use you? Sir.
Sir, that's just an orgy at that point. Right. You can just say that.
Yeah.
Let's all be real. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's call just it like, what it is. Like his and Cass's dynamic. It was just like, I just was smiling the whole time because like they clearly like really like each other. But Cass is like, I'm fighting a war and I thought you were dead. And Balthazar is like, I've been partying. So like, I don't know.
I'm not dead.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed the way that Hitman, that other angel, just like full-on destroyed Sam's car, even though they could have easily teleported instead of like falling and hitting the car and then teleporting. Yeah. Like that part was kind of goofy to me. I was like, this was clearly a plot device to destroy Sam's car.
Right. Sam being like, my car. It's so funny to me. Like, why do you care? You just and feel in just a like, different
way. I'm so glad to see that thing go. I'm just like,
yay.
Dean's like, silver lining.
Oh, and the fact that they raced earlier and he's just like, you know, I wasn't racing you, I was kicking your ass. Like, such a good
Dean brother moment. I also love, like, that part.
Like, I'm glad that they kind of like got rid of Sam's car, because like that scene like shows like how ridiculous it would be for them to be in two different cars but like on the same case. Like, that's so silly. And then they're like, well, here's a perfect opportunity to get rid of the car.
Yeah. They're like, let's just show it for a second and then we'll get rid of it. And it's a dumb car. I mean, to be fair, like, obviously the Impala is impractical for what they do, yes. But, like, Sam's is just boring. Sam's is just a car. Like,
It doesn't have that personality that baby had.
Right. There's, yeah.
Like, it's not a muscle car. It's like a...
It's like a Dodge Charger, right? Like, it's like a cop car. Like, isn't it?
Like what Dean says to him, it's like, you know, that plastic that, like, this isn't a cool car. This is a, like, oh, look at me. I got big dollar money kind of car. Like,
no. I wonder if it was more impressive when you watched it when, like, the episode aired. Like, if it was, like, brand new. And you're like, wow, look at Sam and his, like, fancy new car.
Well, yeah, because it definitely was. Yeah. It was a very popular car around the time in which this episode came out. Like, having, like, I was into the show when this season was airing, and that was, like, a big car. But, like, even then, I was unimpressed with it. Like, I've always been unimpressed with cars. And I think it was Sam just kind of being like, oh, look at me having this, like, you know, really nice, like, souped up vehicle that's not this crusty old Impala. But we love the crusty old Impala. She's our favorite.
But Cass specifically says, when a claim is made on a living soul, it leaves a mark, a brand. And I just can't help but think about a different mark, a different brand on someone's skin when they were raised from hell.
Interesting.
So
I wonder to whom Stu could be referring.
Cass called dibs on Dean specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, this one, mine. Nobody else's.
Which is why he was so upset about Michael trying to claim the vessel that he already claimed.
Yeah. Cass absolutely called dibs on that boy. I did feel so bad for Aaron, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sweet kid was absolutely trying to, like, avenge his brother. And really, like you said with your song choice, kid said, fuck the police. And I agree.
He said, fuck the police and kind of fuck God. Because he was like, I prayed for God to punish him. And he didn't answer. But you know who did? This guy. Like,
this one guy.
This weird British guy who gave me a stick.
Yeah. And he said, pointed at the guys, and I did, and look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And something I think is actually, I feel like it's really interesting about this episode. Like, we probably, like, know that Aaron, like, in the Bible was Moses's brother, but also, like, it's his rod that brings the plagues in the Bible. It's Aaron's, not Moses's. So it's like, they, like, fully followed what happens in the Bible with that. Like, Aaron is the one who brings those three, you know, quote unquote plagues. And I think that's really interesting that they actually, like, used the name Aaron and had him be the one to start the plagues. Like, I just think that's really interesting that they would have done that.
Interesting too. Now that you've mentioned that, I wonder, do we know what type of wood the staff was made out of? Because I wouldn't be surprised to find out it was birch.
I don't know. Right. That's true.
That would be interesting.
This is lore that I didn't know.
We have the internet.
Ooh, almond wood. I looked it up and it says almond wood.
Oh, okay.
That would have been interesting. But it's like, maybe they used birch anyway, because that is obviously a type of wood.
Exactly.
And like, obviously the staff is made of wood.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess Almond would have been a weird last name.
Yeah.
You know?
Hello, my name is Aaron Almond. That sounds
Aaron Almond.
That sounds like a weird...
If your name, last name is Almond, no offense.
Yeah, no offense, but if your name is Aaron Almond, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, please, what are the odds?
Yeah, please comment on this episode. Like, send us a message and we'll send you a sticker or something.
I want to know, But yeah, I just think that's... Like, they change up lore, obviously, on purpose all the time, Christian lore, especially, because they, like, it's not a Christian show. But I always think it's interesting when it's, like, almost spot on. I just think,
when why they do that? Reference very intentionally.
Why? Yeah. Why did they do that?
But why? Why do you do that?
I'm constantly asking that when I watch an episode of Supernatural.
Well, it's like, but that's but what I love about Supernatural and its duality is you have, like, you know, subtle biblical references like that in the same episodes that you have lines like, tell Raphael to bite me, like, you know,
right,
get the whole gamut of human experience with this show every week, and it's just wonderful.
I agree.
I really do love to the way that Balthazar says to Cass, you tore up the whole script and burned the pages. Mm-hmm. Like, we're always talking about meta in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's one of the really good examples of like the show sort of winking at the audience, being like, this is what they did with the apocalypse. Like they threw out the author's intent and started making their own story, which is, I think, especially by the end of the show, what Supernatural was really about. And I just think that it's nice to see that as far back as like something like season 6.
Definitely. And I think that it's like flagging like Cass specifically, like it's not he wasn't like you and these bonehead boys you've got with you. Like it was like you specifically, Cass, ripped up the script, because like from the beginning, like Cass is the one that pushes over the dominoes. Like he gives the boys like reason, but like I'm thinking back to like season 4 finale when he's the one who chooses to fall from heaven and help Dean. Dean couldn't have done what he did without Cass's help. And so like it, and when you go throughout the show and we see later, like this will continue to be a thing that's like Cass being this like agent of free will. He's the one
who looked Chuck in the face and said, we're making it up as we go.
Exactly. Like Cass being free will is not a new thing and it won't stop being a thing. And so I like the wording.
But you could say that Team Free Will isn't the same without the third man.
Absolutely. So true.
Just on a small pop culture note, I really enjoyed the who's on first, what's on second reference.
What is second?
And he's just like, don't start that.
So funny to me.
And I'm like, please start that. I would actually love to see Jensen Ackles and Misha Collins do the entirety of that Abbott and Costello sketch. And I think that may be my new mission, is to ask them to do that at a con. Someone just brings a script and is like, hello, boys.
Do this.
Please fulfill this dream. One last like silly little thing I'll say is I really loved when he picks up Aaron and he just says portability, and then the camera just pans out because they've just teleported.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really like delightful moment, kind of lighthearted, before you get to the moments that follow it, which are like kind of hugely pivotal in Dean realizing something's up with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But just that portability moment really made me giggle like way more than I thought I was going to.
I think that moment after all of that is just so like, we've kind of talked about how Cass being like, I don't have the ability to care. Like there's a lot at stake. And like Dean being the only person in the room who does care, but then he's kind of like letting himself, because like Sam physically stops him from stopping Cass. Yeah. And like Dean could have done more to stop that from happening. Like he could have like moved, like also got physical with Sam to like be like, no, this is wrong. And so like they're kind of like all these, they're either bystanders or like Cass is like literally doing it. And it's just, considering it's an episode talking about like the oppression of like,
yeah,
this, like it's just, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And we've seen Dean in the past like advocate for other people and like not letting it happen. And I think it just kind of like shows where that Dean is still getting used to getting back to hunting, and like he's kind of like unsure about his place and like.
Yeah, I mean, in this episode, Cass and Sam have very like leader energies going. Like they don't give Dean any room to be the leader like he usually is. Mm-hmm. And so like he maybe like, not that it's not like an excuse for Dean not to step in for this young Black boy, but like he feels like he can't because there's no room for him to do so.
Yeah.
And he's worried about Sam at the same time. So like,
and you see the heartbreak on his face, especially because this kid is like almost the same age as Ben. Yeah. And like he just got done being on the phone, like, you know, telling Ben, you know, like, you know, suck it up and, you know, have to do this. And so he's like, he's currently like the phase that he's in life right now is that he's parenting someone of this similar age. And so I feel like that's so difficult for him to just stand there and just watch that happen, because I guarantee you he's thinking about Ben in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like throughout the entire episode, Dean is the only person who cares about Aaron.
Yeah.
He is the one who's like, we're not just going to like leave him here. Right. And Cass is like, well, don't you think the police will take him home? The police just shot and killed his brother. And then.
Right.
Like,
oh God. Yeah.
Covered it up.
And covered it up. Like, no, I don't think the police will just take him home. Like, and they kind of like just leave it. So we don't really know what happens. I hope that Dean was like, no, zap him back home now. They don't address it.
They almost make it seem like a joke. Like Cass is making a joke, you know, like, well, won't the police just take him home? Like it's supposed to be like, like a sitcom moment. Right. You know,
like, no.
And then like you have a transition, no, but like, no, it's kind of serious.
How police operate in this town, very obviously.
Right. Yeah. Clearly.
And then like at the end when they have Balthazar, when do they put the holy oil on the ground?
That was my one question too. I was like, this is too convenient.
Right.
Like how did y'all know he was going to wander to this exact spot near the staircase? You didn't.
While Cass was having a conversation with Balthazar, Dean and Sam were just going throughout the house and making random circles of holy oil.
They're just running in circles with holy water. Yeah.
They're like, he'll get in one eventually.
Like, just put one in every room and hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even then, like, Dean's the one who's like, you're going to, like, remove your claim on Aaron's soul. And Cass does have his back there. And it's like, I believe the hairless ape has the floor. Oof. Which is funny. I think... I think that's when Balthazar is like, okay, so Cass is completely head over heels in love with this man.
Right. Yeah. The way he looks between Dean and Cass isn't just like, oh, okay. It's like, he has like a moment of realization. He's like,
I just like to think that like the topic of Castiel and the Winchesters has been so like prominent in heaven. And then like Balthazar is seeing it for the first time, like in his face. And he's like,
Oh, this makes more sense now.
Yeah. Right. Like Balthazar just had a menage a French for 12. So like he knows what it looks like. Oh, right. People are interested in it.
And if anybody is out there thinking that menage a whatever was only women,
they're wrong. Yeah.
Balthazar is statistically, it's unlikely.
Like bisexual energy. It's not even it's so off the charts.
One moment that I had never really like latched onto is, so Cass is like trying to get the other angels to stop and like listen to him. And he's like, why will you, none of you listen to me? Like, why are you just like basically being a pawn for Raphael? And Raphael like attacks him and he's like, because their hearts belong to me. And I just want to flag that language because so often people are like, well, Cass doesn't have feelings. Cass doesn't have a heart because he's an angel. Angels don't have feelings or hearts because they have used that language in the past. But usually that's from like Dean and being like, you're heartless because he's just like,
he's Dean.
Like he's being Dean. He's like provoking them. But like, that's an angel being like, their hearts belong to me. Meaning that there is like, I'm not saying that they have hearts like as multi-wave
as angels,
like angels and
as
all that,
like, but a concrete concept,
right? But like as like their loyalty and like
they have allegiances.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a really good point.
Who has Castiel's heart?
Well,
I think I know
at least one hairless ape.
It's not Sam, that's for
not
sure.
Sam.
No.
That's what we learned in this episode.
For damn sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam.
Oh, and I do love how Dean just screams, friggin' angels. Like, it just...
When Cass leaves, though, and he's like, Cass, like, he sounds so sad.
Yeah.
I had never noticed, like, how sad Dean sounds when he disappears. And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
Jim Knuckles. Why?
He just lost his mans again.
Like, he was just like, man, I was really hoping, like, we could, like, talk after, like, it's been a year.
And because he's also feeling so weird about Sam, very clearly. Which, that's a really good, like, last kind of main discussion point that we can lead into is the end of the episode when he confronts Sam about, like, mm-hmm. how unfeeling he's being. And Sam's just trying to be like, no, I'm just built different.
I'm just not you.
They're different.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, I'm not like other girls. I'm different.
Yeah. And Dean's like, are you saying that you're stronger than me? And he's like, no, we're just different.
He's like, I'm not saying that. You're saying that. And I'm not denying it.
Which, like, poor Dean just, like, immediately putting up that wall and being like, this is about, well, I need to be stronger and tougher and the bigger brother who, you know, handles things better and, like, feeling inadequate about himself in yeah. thinking that he's not able to do that right now. Like, that part just...
To be fair, like, there's been a lot of times in the past in this show where Sam has told Dean he's not strong enough for something. So, yeah. like, it's totally valid that Dean would be like, are you saying, again, that I'm not as strong as you?
Giving flashbacks to the fucking siren episode.
Right, he's in season 4 all over again, and he's like, oh my god, Sam, I thought we were past this. And he's he's hurt. His feelings are hurt. He's not over that.
Like, it's been 3 seasons, bro.
Yeah, his feelings
are
hurt.
Sam's like, no. Yeah, Sam's like, I'm not saying that, because I've said it before. You already know, Dean. You know that I think that. Not a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, his feelings are hurt. Sam's acting weird, and Castiel disappeared. Overall, bad day for Dean Winchester.
Right. Yeah, Dean is having a good time.
My poor little guy.
Poor little guy. Well, that feels a really good point to segue us into our last segment, which is our blessings. So as we wrap up, let's get to it. Who's got a blessing to start us off?
I can start. I don't mind. I just think I'd like to bless Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you took something.
Somebody had to, because that poor guy, you know,
he needs it. Like, he.
I hope he got home safely.
Yes.
Aaron and his grandpa, dad. I can't remember what that relationship is, but both of them.
I think it was his dad.
His dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very true. I think that they're the most deserving of the blessing this week, for sure.
They go through it, for sure, yeah.
And then they just had, like, 3 guys pop in on them, make them fall asleep randomly, torture one of them, the child. Like, yeah, they've been going through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bless Castiel. I feel like he's really going through.
I'm so surprised at this shocking turn of events.
No one could have guessed.
I just think that he's clearly under a lot of pressure right now. He's going head to head with an archangel. Like, that is not an archangel that has beef with him even before all this mess happened, because of, like, this archangel already killed him once in the end of season 4, and then in Free to Be You and Me, Cass trapped him and threatened him, and then now here he is in Civil War, and he just needs,
like, why is Raphael always showing up when they're having, like, supreme Dean and Cass, like, moments?
Right, that's because Heaven doesn't want it.
Heaven's a little homophobic, and they're like, send Raphael.
Get him out of here.
Send Raphael to break up that shit. Yeah.
That is
no
much.
Gay shit on our watch. Yeah.
Heaven's a little... I love it. Oh my gosh. That is a very good blessing. I'm going to the surprise of no one, I'm going to bless Dean. Yeah. Because that last moment of the episode, oh, poor baby, he's not having a good time. He doesn't know what's going on with Cass. He doesn't know what's going on with Sam. He wants to be home with Lisa and Ben, but he can't do that. And so I feel like Dean is a character pulled in many different directions at the moment, and he could use a hug and a very sound nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone's upset we didn't bless Sam wouldn't even accept it if we tried right now.
He's not in the mood for any blessings.
He wouldn't. He's not.
He'd say, save him. Bless Dean instead. He's not as strong as I am.
Yeah. So he's just built different.
He doesn't. He's just, blessings don't even touch him.
Exactly. And that's not our fault.
No. Just watch the show.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me today. This was like really lovely. It's been too long and I enjoyed having you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm speaking for Hannah, but we really enjoyed being back. So.
It was a good time.
Make sure you're subscribed to Saving People, Queering Things wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your friends.
You can also join our free Discord server, find links to our socials, and catch up on the latest season mixtapes, all at our website, queeringthingspodcast.com. Also out now, Queering People Saving Throws. Our main crew, along with KJ of Supernatural Opinions, are taking a dive into a queer D&D adventure, releasing every other Friday right here on our feed. Be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore Season 6, Episode 4, Weekend at Bobby's, through the theme of failure.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride, and we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.